Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we trust that your presence shall not be ignored, but rather, Lord, we shall meditate upon it, correctly understanding what your presence actually means to us. At this particular time, Lord, we know it is that presence, Lord, and here in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire to lead us to the millennium, getting us ready for that day, Lord. They without us cannot be made perfect, those coming forth. All these things, Lord, are so important. May we realize your importance, Lord, because you said it was so in your word. So help us tonight to study, Lord, with humility and yet with great zest for your word, Lord, real zeal, real love, Lord, and let it become the major part of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're into number 16 of the God of this evil age, and as you have noted, we spent much time with Brother Branham's statement or statements relative to the difference between the children of God and the children of Satan. And of course they can be distinguished one from another only on the grounds of their doctrinal treatises and their beliefs, which sets their formulas for worship. You can't tell them by their actions, because at the end time they'll all be doing the same thing, but they won't be thinking the same thoughts, and they won't be expressing those thoughts as they are supposed to. And you'll notice in Malachi, it distinctly says that there is a group of people talking one to another, and the Lord hears them, and he's pleased with what he hears, and he said, they will be my jewels when I come to make up the jewels for my crown. So there is a difference between the children of God and the children of Satan, not so much as to the actual worship, although God receives one and rejects the other, but you'll see in Matthew 7 at the white throne, if it was rejected then or will be, it's rejected now, because you have to make your decision now, and you come into the fold or you keep out of the fold. So you see, when he's telling us that the difference lies in the word, the difference of the revelation, that's exactly what is true, because God's children worship by revelation, and Satan's children worship by sense knowledge mixed with the word, by their reasonings and superstition alone, which is dying out. Although you'll notice that many people are attempting to revert back to their own ancient ideological and idolatrous positions, like you find the Indians here in America are trying to get back to their totems, to their worship. The blacks are getting back to their worship. And but just the same, already Christianity, which is in a perverted form, has already formed a leaven amongst them. So it isn't going to be too difficult to formulate a world council of churches, the same as they formulate the United Nations, which is the political picture of the spiritual, wherein everybody's acceptable, and you really cannot then come against anybody's religion. So they'll have it all lined up where they have a conglomerate, which ends in the worship of Satan as people come together to have their own end-time last church, and as all groups of people have always had leaders, chieftains, and so on. So it is no strange thing that the end-time church will have a leader, which, of course, will be the Pope. Now, going back then to reading in page 32, and beginning at paragraph 135, which we just looked at and left, we want to continue reading the next three paragraphs, of which 135 is the first one. There are only two classes of people spoken of in the New Testament. One, the children of God. Two, the children of the devil. Those are the two classes. Did you know that? Do you want to put down a scripture for it? It is John 3 and 10. If you want the scripture, and I'm reading it right here, got it written out. So he doesn't read it at that time, but it's a good thing to read it, so we have it in our minds, because we're going to look at it. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, or the children of God are manifested to be the children of God in contradistinction to the children of the devil. There's a difference. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, Brother Branham is actually then only showing us that there are two groups of people, although you notice he also said that there are three when it comes to believer, make believer, unbeliever. But that's a finer categorization. The actual scripture categorization is that there are two groups, children of God and the children of the devil. And, of course, you can say there's wise and foolish virgin, which are the children of God cut according to the pattern that God wants that cut. Now, in Ephesians 2:2, they are called the children of disobedience, like Eve was disobedient to God's word. The children of obedience and disobedience have nothing in common. Then how can the bride of Christ associate in denomination when one's disobedient and the other is obedient? How can one be the Word and the other one not be the Word? How can a prostitute and a clean woman walk together in agreement? They cannot do it. They have no fellowship at all. Come up from amongst them. It is of the devil. It's a mark of the beast heading right into it now. All denominations. I don't care whose it is. God's taking not a denomination, but a people for his name. A denomination won't receive these truths. It'll take an individual person that can see God and look at his word and believe it and belong to no organization, but live for God, not for his organization, or intellectual wisdom of some bishop or something that has taught them. That's right. The children of disobedience and the children of obedience have nothing in common. One of them is of the day of light. The other is of the night and darkness, evil age. This evil age of darkness, nightclubs, belong to the church. It's okay with their God. They don't have any condemnation about it. Nothing bothers them. Why, it doesn't condemn me to cut my hair, a woman said. Doesn't hurt my conscience. She's got no more conscience than a snake got hips. That's right, certainly not. She doesn't know what a conscience is. It's been seared so hard till she doesn't even know what it is. That's right. Now, going back here then, her brother Branham says there are two kinds of people, the children of God and the children of the devil. He said here, reading in 1 John 3:10, which we read, then in Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse 2, again he does not read, but here it is, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, there's nothing said about the children being obedient. It just mentioned these as being disobedient, and he's letting you know that the children of God are obedient. Of course, what would they be obedient to? And the children of the enemy or Satan are disobedient. Now, the children of obedience and disobedience have nothing in common. All right, now, we've read that now to begin our study tonight. We've read these three paragraphs consecutively, now I want you to notice here that having read them, and 1 John 3:10 identifies the two kinds of people, the children of God and the children of the devil, and secondly, now knowing this is true, that there are only two kinds of people from two different sources or fathers. Which sources or fathers produced genealogies or lineages by their first sons? We have to read further into verses 11 and 12 to see what John is saying. So let's get back here now, because it would be quite easy to misunderstand what Brother Branham is saying here. When he says here, they're called the children of disobedience, like Eve was disobedient to God's word. Now, in 11 and 12, you'll notice it says here, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, reading back to verse 10, it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And with it, of course, we saw 11 here, wherein it mentions, this is a message you heard. And then you look at Cain, who was the wicked one, and you look at Abel, who was of God. Now, it categorically says in verse 12 that Cain is of the wicked one. Now, that's something that we recognize, that he was the son of Satan, having been fostered or come unto this earth through Eve by means of the beast who was there in the Garden of Eden. Now, that's who Satan was. Now, who is Abel? If it is understood that Cain was of that wicked one, because it says here, and naturally we're speaking of the devil, because it says up here in verse 10, children of God and children of the devil. So the child of the devil was Cain. Then who would be the child of God? Well, that has to be Abel, because he is the son of God by Adam. And we know that Abel was slain by Cain. Seth came along after Abel, and he now takes the place of the one who gets the blessing in the lineage. So, thinking of those things, so we don't get fooled as to exactly what we're reading here, as I'm explaining it, we want to go back and read again 1 John 3 and 12. So listen to it. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So all right, we see one thing here, that Abel's work was righteous. It says that Cain's work was evil. Now, what was the righteous work of Abel and the unrighteous work of Cain? Well, we saw that in Genesis, the 4th chapter. We saw how that Cain did not take the word that God gave as to what the proper sacrifice was, which was by blood, but Abel did, and because Cain would not do what God told him to do, and Abel did, he rose up against Abel and killed him. So the unrighteous work or the evil work that Cain did, as we said many times, was not the killing of his brother. The evil work was worshiping in self-will outside of the truly revealed Word of God or the properly divided Word of God. So, we're going to read the 12th verse again. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, or Cain, not as Cain, Cain being of the wicked one, he slew his brother. Why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, let's go all the way back to verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, he's telling you something there. There is an absolute affirmation that there can be a person who is absolutely righteous in the mold and partaking of the righteousness which is of God. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Now remember, Abel was that one. Even as he is righteous, you're talking about God. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, there is something going on even amongst those and in those that are children of God that must be destroyed. Something must be removed from them. They cannot remain in that particular condition. They've got to be freed from it. Now, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, what I want to do here to show you what I have in mind, particularly at this time, to maybe clear this up in a way we haven't cleared up before. Going over it again, little children, let no man deceive you. So there's something here you've got to know that's going to put you on the right track. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whose sin also the destroying works of the devil would be to bring the final age into perfection with God and no serpent seed. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now watch, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Now skip that last phrase and jump right down to verse 12. Not is Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, what I'm looking at here is the actual story of the unrighteousness in contradistinction to the righteous, because the subject that John is dealing with is righteousness and unrighteousness. Now, here's where people get mixed up. They read the last phrase of John 3:10. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message you heard in the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, that's an interpolation. So, never mind what kind of package the righteousness comes in. The point is, what is righteousness essentially and by itself? Because when you talk about love, you are now dealing not with the righteous act itself, but literally a manner in what it is and how it is done. So I can have pure steel, pure gold. And how I work that pure gold and pure steel is another matter entirely. Whether I'm doing it for this or doing it for that. So I hope you're catching what I'm saying here. When John threw this in here, it may be like showing a curve. Because the people get their mind on love instead of what is righteousness. Now the point is, if you order a duck dinner, you can have your duck fried, you can have it roasted, you can have it barbecued, you can have it done into a stew, you can do a duck 101 different ways. But the point is, we're talking about duck. Here, you're talking about righteousness. Never mind the love. You see what I'm trying to get across to you? Now, love is not that it's not important. See? But the thing is, if you aren't in control or have in your position, the thing that we're dealing with, what does it matter how you deal with it? See? What I'm trying to get across to you. Now, we're not talking now about anything but pure revealed word. Now, the minute you mess with pure revealed word, you are in trouble. I don't care how much love you got. You're finished. I don't care what you show. I don't care what you think you do. It doesn't matter. Because now you are messed up but good. And this is what John is trying to show us here. The person that's the seed of God simply has to come eventually in line with the truly revealed Word of God. There is nothing else but that. Now, as to the nature or what this thing is wrapped in, the package, that's a different thing entirely, and that also can have qualifications. But the great qualification is, I don't care how you act with what you got. If what you've got is wrong, forget it. Now, see what I'm trying to drive at? Now, that's what John is saying here. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. Doesn't say anything about love or anything else. There is a certain formula. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, we know that's unbelief. You go right ahead, and not only in unbelief, but in willful disbelief. You go right ahead. Now, for this purpose, the Son of God is manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, God's going to come along with his Son. He's completely manifested, and he's going to turn this thing right around. No matter what it is, it'll be manifest that these people here, the seed, is going to believe in that which has been presented to them as the definitive revelation of God's Word. Now, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, he's telling you something right there again. The fact is that this person here will make it. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, see, and slew his brother Abel. The two people, one righteous, one unrighteous. And the righteous one was found with the true revelation. See? Now, from that revelation came an action. Now, from the other person with the wrong revelation came an action. And one action in worship, which we're looking at, was entirely outside of the truly divided word. That was Abel. Cain, rather. Now, and you'll notice that Cain slew his brother. Now it says, why did he slay him? He slew him because he was not righteous. He was a serpent seed. What caused the problem? The definitive revelation. This placed the two of them. Now, people can say what they want, and I do not care what anybody says. I'm going to stick with the Bible and how Brother Branham taught it to us. So that's what we're looking at. So you see, my stand is the last phrase of verse 10. Neither he that loveth not his brother. And verse 11, for this is the message here in the beginning, that we should love one another, is not a part of the verses 7 to 10, and then down to verse 12. But describes the nature of the child of the devil, which is one of hate, whereas the nature of the child of God is one of love. Hating what? The word that's divided correctly. Loving what? The word that's divided correctly. You see? And are determined by the seed that lies within, and it will manifest by taking its stand for or against the word and loving the truth, which is a sign of the end time. The wicked do not love the truth. They hate it. And consequently, they've got to turn on the people who are synonymous with the truth. They haven't got a choice. Now, you understand the thing? They don't have a choice. Well, you read your Bible. They simply do not have a choice. Now, you notice that love and hate are determined by the seed, which manifests as an attitude toward the revealed and vindicated Word of God. See? In other words, before it acts toward others, it's already got to have something in here that predetermines the action. See? Now, if they can't stand the word, they're just not going to come around. Now, Abel could not embrace the vain faith of Cain. Cain could not embrace the true faith of Abel. You're not going to do it. Abel stood his ground and maintained his foundation, which was his love of his life, which was the life of God in the Word. Because that was his life. He's seed, and in the seed is life. And in the seed is the power of reproduction. That's why it's called seed. So therefore, this one Abel, he stood for the love of his life, which was the life of God in that word. Because you can't have an animal life come back on another animal. It's got to be within the species. Because the lineage has got to keep on going down and down and down. So therefore, Abel stood his ground, which was his love of his life, which was the life of God in the Word and by the Word. And people like Abel then love each other as a result. This is true and non-hypocritical love. That's what you're looking at. See, that's what I see what Brother Branham was talking about here, about these two children. And since he used 1 John 3 and 10, it's my intent then to see what the context is. And coming up with the context, I see in here the same thing that John, who wrote this epistle as a scribe, also wrote as a scribe, the Gospel of John, that the Pharisees, having no place for the Word, there was no way that they could ever have a part in this. See? Okay. Now, with this, Brother Branham reads Ephesians, the second chapter. So, as he reads it, he uses verse 2, and in there, of course, it says, the Spirit that now worketh in the sons, that word children is sons of disobedience. And Brother Branham in there, he says Ephesians 2 and 2, they are called the children of disobedience, like Eve, was disobedient to God's word. Now, let's read 7 verses. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our behavior in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now notice where he puts us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love worthy loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you saved, and raised up together and made us sit together in any place in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus, who is the Christ. Now, Brother Branham uses Ephesians 2 here, wherein he rightly calls the children of the devil, named in John 3 and 10, as the sons of disobedience, and the children of God are the children of obedience. What are you obedient to? You're obedient to that form of doctrine which is taught you. And if you're obedient to the form of doctrine which is revealed by the Holy Ghost and vindicated as such, or is the word of the hour under the reformers, you then are a child of obedience, because you're not obeying what Satan's church stands for. Because remember, he started his church back in the Garden of Eden by fooling Eve. See? Now, in paragraph 136, which I read the first sentence there to you, in Ephesians 2, they're called the children of disobedience, like Eve was disobedient to God's word. Okay. In sentence 1, he refers to Eve, who was disobedient to God's word. Now the question arises, is he making Eve a child of disobedience? In no way. He is illustrating, because he has already pinpointed Cain as the evil one previously in this message, you know, through Satan. And we all know that Eve was of Adam, who was of God. The Bible distinctly said, let us make man our image. Male and female he made them. Then in Genesis, the second chapter, the 7th verse, he takes and forms a body around Adam. And then in the verses 21 to 23, it takes a part of Eve out of him. And then in Genesis 5, 1 to 2, it says Adam's the son. Adam was in the image of God. And then in Luke 3 and 38, it says Adam was the son of God. So how are you going to make Eve a child of disobedience, a child of perdition, if she came out of Adam, who was absolutely a son of God? And she was already in him in a spirit form when they were in the image of God, which Brother Branham said was a spirit form. You can't do it. So what is he doing? Well, he's giving us an illustration. Now, thus, as Brother Branham is reading from 1 John 3 and 10, to show us the two lineages, he illustrates where they come from and uses Eve, who produced both of them. So, all right, let's go back to Ephesians, that produced both of these children. You see, she produced both lineages. That's why you come into one lump. As the scripture distinctly says, Eve is the mother of all living, but no place does it say that Adam is the father of all living. He is not. He was not the son of father of Cain. He was the father of Abel, and he was the father of Seth, and that godly line that went on down. And remember, there weren't very many children born. So again, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and were in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air that's running this whole world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And it tells you right there, there are children who absolutely cannot stand the word of God revealed. There is no way they're going to take it. They're going to rebel against it. Things get too hot, they'll kill. Why do you think that bunch in Iran and all those places, the Mohammedans, have a religion of the sword? It's kill, kill, kill. They're children of hell, the whole bunch of them, almost every single one. You're not going to find Christians amongst them. Look at their lineage. See, what do you think anyway? And the sun has moved to the west. Let's not try to make it go back. Her Dr. Frank may say so, but he's a lunatic. Don't get fooled by these birds that open their mouths and talk. Stick with the prophet. And when he says, that's what he says, he means it. You don't change what he said, you believe it. You see? All right, here, among whom we also all had our conversation, that's our behavior, in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. In other words, we were not reprobates, but our minds were in the groove of the reprobate. Because we were born into this particular world system cosmos. Fallen sons of God are no different in their looks and their ways from those who are not the sons of God. See, the difference comes when the word comes. That's going to make your difference. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. In other words, if God had not done something for us of this total lump of clay, look at the mess we'd be in. Now notice, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Loved who? Those who were by nature children of wrath, even as those who were the children of the devil, fallen sons of God we were. Doesn't say he has a bit of love for the others. Now what did God's love do? God's love is an election which positively foreknew and brought forth these sons upon earth, and in them was that place in the soul to receive the word. Now that's real love. Then if you are a child of God, that's where your love is going to be. And then if you go further, your nature is going to show it amongst your brethren. That's why I keep on preaching. If we really have the word as we should have here, this church would be different. That's, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not saving my punches for down the road. I never have them, never will. See, you don't settle down. There's too many things that attract you. Run here, run there, this, that, and the other thing. Oh, going to lose weight. Put on weight. Do this. But for the word of God, well, you know. I'm going to tell you something. My preaching it isn't going to save you at all. Any more than William Brown's preaching saved me. It's an individual basis. You see, so you understand what I'm saying here and why I'm saying it. Now, God rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Notice the quickening effect. Now, where will that quickening effect start? Okay, it says here our conversation, our behavior, was in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh, even of the mind. Showing we were one lump with everybody else, but there was something in there to respond to something. Now, what responds to the love of God? There's got to be something in there for the word. Now, if you study the life of Jesus, especially in John, you'll know what I'm talking about. They could not get to that word. There was no way they could take it. See? All right. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, the gift of God, and so on right on down the line. That's true. Now to whom would God give gifts? To his sons. Okay, now, as I mentioned here a while ago, you go to the book of John, which we've gone to many, many times. It's one of my favorite portions because the 8th chapter speaks these things so perfectly. And notice beginning in verse 37, it says here, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. There you are. Why was it that Cain killed Abel? There was no room in Cain's heart for the word. Now you see, here's the thing you're looking at. It started back there, and he was confronted with the word. Thoroughly vindicated after revelation. Perfectly manifested. By the way, Abel was worshiping. And he killed Abel. Now you see what we're talking about. Now he said, you seek to kill me. Because there's no place in you for that word. Now, what is opposite to love? Hate. What is opposite to hate? Love. So, if there is a hatred for the word, and the word is Christ, who's going to hate whom? Now, I know right away people say, I don't believe that. Well, let's find out if you believe it or not, because I can prove right here, and I've done dozens of times with the same scripture Brother Branham used. It says right here, In verse 23 of John 15, he that hated me hated my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none of the man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. It tells you right there that sin is a hatred. And what is it based upon? It's based upon the fact of a vindicated word. Not the miracles Jesus did. That in themselves is a flash in the pan. That's nothing at all. That's merely vindication. That's a sign pointing to what's to be pointed at. So he said, they've both seen and hated both me and my Father by the vindicated manifestation that I am that one and I have the truth. William Branham in the same bracket. Paul in the same bracket. Moses in the same bracket. Now keep reading. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you've seen with your Father. What did they see? The response. Cain hated Abel. So, what is the response? Hatred. Now somebody says, I don't hate. Now, who are you going to believe? Well, Brother Vail, I just couldn't disbelieve those lovely... You lousy, rotten hypocrites. I've already told you time after time, preaching Brother Branham's message from this Bible, what it's all about. And you say you love when the Bible says you hate. That every man's word be a lie because it is a lie. Now you do what you want with it. You see where you sit tonight? You're not sitting someplace where you haven't turned a corner. If you think you haven't turned a corner, you're sitting on a fence. I've got word for you people in this church. You're wrong. You're already lost. The chips are down. This is white throne. There isn't one change down the road. You think there's a change. You're wrong. You're waiting 1,000 years. Listen, the fire burns at the end of this age, and root and their branches left, showing annihilation within 1,000 years one day. Don't get these crazy ideas you know the Bible. You don't know the Bible. You just think you know the Bible. You're still denominational. I think if you think I'm hard, why do you think I'm preaching hard? You think I haven't gone through this? Everything the prophet said is vindicated. Find it here in the Word and you can find it. When I can find such things even to show you where they said we're resting on this behind the curtain of time, when I can find that and show you that in Scripture, I believe I can find everything by the grace of Almighty God. So don't sit around and think you've got answers or sneer at anything. Or you're going to get free of judgment. Oh, no, my brother, my sister. We've turned the corner. The answer said, Abraham's our father. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist. Why are they saying that? Because the forefathers at one time knew Jesus. So they're making their claims through the church of being children of God. And Jesus said, if you're Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man which had told you the truth. What was the work of Abraham? The divine revelation. See, it's always that. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. See, that proves circumcision. What's fornication got to do with it? Well, sir, I believe Abraham fornicated with Hagar. Like fun he did, that was his legal wife. He had many wives he wanted. There was no fornication. It was a matter of sheer lust and trying to bring in the will of God by stupidity, because that wasn't the woman. Then people try to say there's no natural election. What are you talking about? Even Jesus Christ had natural election. Peter says so. Elect according to foreknowledge. Like Brother Branham said, he came just like we did, except he bypassed that we bypassed the theophonic form. Brother Branham didn't make a mistake, brother, sister. People make mistakes, but Brother Branham didn't make mistakes. No. Jesus said, if God were your father, you'd love me. Now, how did they hate him? Because of what he said as the definitive, vindicated revelation. The word of the hour. They couldn't take it, proving exactly who they were. See? Now he said, you love me. I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. What's he talking about? Word. God sends a measure of his word in every age, which is full of the Holy Ghost, bringing life. Why didn't understand my speech? Even because you can't hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer in the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Now he says right there, you can't tell anything but a lie, because that's all that's in him. Then how can anybody tell this word if that word isn't in him from the beginning? No wonder people run at this word and say screwy, stupid things. I guess I can shock the liver out of somebody. Somebody come and say, well, there's Sister Holmes. I say, she's screw loose. You don't think so, but I can prove it. Oh, they rest on something Brother Branham might have said to them. I don't know if he said it or not. I don't care. I got a word here, brother, sister. And I know the testimony points to the prophet or some gigolo out here. Don't kid with me. If you don't believe me, get out of the church. Go someplace else. But I'll rub your nose in what I say. Not that I want to be mean, but I can rub it in solid because I know what I'm talking about. You don't fool with me, brother, sister. We can't fool with the prophet of God. That's the most foolish thing in all the world. Destroy ourselves. Well, he said here, because I tell the truth, you don't believe me, which you convince of me of sin. Which you find me one word out. Who can refute me? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that's of God heareth God's word. Now, there you are right there. He that heareth them not, ye hear them not, because you are not of God. Now, that's exactly the thing that John said himself. He that heareth us is of God. He nailed it down when he talked about the spirit of the Antichrist. How, he said, how are you going to know the difference? You're going to know the difference by the word. Now, John could look back upon a true vindicated word, which was the word of that hour, made manifest. Now, Paul, to the Gentiles, had the same ministry of Jesus to the Gentiles risen. And we end with the very same thing, bringing us back to the true gospel. Now, who's going to love this message? Who's going to love that picture on the wall? Now, you don't love the picture on the wall, if you know what I'm talking about. Who's going to believe that's really a supernatural being? Who's really going to believe that angels came down? Oh, you say, come on. But you believe a dead book? You can't make it live, so it's dead. I believe in the living book because I saw it live. It lived there and it lived here. And by the grace of God's living in men's hearts, of which I trust I am one of them. Then the Jews said, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan. What's a Samaritan? Literally a bastard. Illegitimate. Not a real Jew. Sort of a borderline deal. Kind of a junkie. You know. Not someone that's got the real material. Jesus said, don't go to the Samaritans. But he went down himself. Then later on, of course, they could go on. Now let's go to John 10 and see what John 10 says to get the picture perfectly. In verse 22, he was at Jerusalem. The feast of dedication was wintertime. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about and said, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now he let them know right there that the vindication showed who he was, and therefore what he said was true. Why? Because a prophet like unto me will God raise up. That's what Moses said. Jesus answered, I told you and you believe not. The works that are in my Father's name, they bear witness me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. So you can see right here what we're looking at here, and Brother Branham is looking at in this scripture here. It says you used to belong to that crowd. You were physically encumbered. You were the eagle in the chicken run. But when the eagle screamed, there was the difference. Because there was something in there to respond. And that's what we're looking at in this scripture here. When Brother Branham talks about Eve, she was not a daughter of the devil. No way. She was not a child of disobedience, as though her lineage came from Satan by means of corrupting nature. But she was a woman, and he illustrates that she was disobedient to the word, just like these people in Ephesians. From the time on that she listened to Satan, she and her husband sure got us into a lot of bondage. Now, what Brother Branham then is showing us over here in paragraph 136, in my estimation, is clear to me, and this might say my estimation, you can do what you want about it, so can anybody else. In 1 John is what we're looking at. the first chapter, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which ye seen with their eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life, for the life was manifested, we have seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now he tells you right there, he said that one was with the Father, that came forth from the Father, that came down in human form, took apart a nature. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that we may have also fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Notice that he's with the Father and Son. And these things read unto you that you joined me before. This then is the message we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, period. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and the truth is not in us. Now it says right here, if you claim to be a Christian, you turn the word down, you're a liar. Just plump and plain a liar. you're a child like Cain was. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, what is he talking about? He is talking about the revelation of faith from which can come action, but forget the action. Forget the love. It's not that we're not going to have action. It's not that we're not going to have love, but forget it until you get the basic. Because there's two kinds of children. One is of God, and one is not of God. And when it's within the two kinds of children of God, there's the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. And the wise virgin always comes to the light when it's presented. The foolish virgin comes too late. There was no oil in the vessel, and the vessel is the Word. So you got a bunch of foolish virgins right today that are living on a word that has leaked the oil out of it. The life is gone. And you got a few who have the word with the life in it. And it was proven by him, whatever he taught us is full of life. Now John says right here, if we walk in that light, there's where our fellowship is. Love, love, kiss, kiss, wash feet, wipe feet, joy and joy. Not. Well, there's too much of this in the church. Look, tell me. I got a lot of this in me, too, for God's sake. I'm not up here pretending I'm a paragon of virtues and some sweet, wonderful guy out of Mars or the bosom of Jesus Christ. But anything all my life I've hungered for is a reality. Where you could let take your cotton picking veil off your minds down and stand exposed without stinking hypocrisy. Where there was a genuine love that came out of the Word. But you see, you got the cart before the horse like everybody else. We're just rotten as everybody else is. Listen, if we walk in the light as he is in that light, we're talking now about this day, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. You can't have the cleansing blood without it. Now, it starts with that light. So don't get all messed up in your thing. Oh, if I just have love, the other's there. You are crazy. Spiritually speaking, insane. In my books, anyway. You got to have the seed. You got to have that word. And out of that, there will be all walking in the light. There will be the love that you and I have only imagined and hoped for. There won't be any more hypocrisy. There'll be no more double dealing. Well, I believe it anyway. Now, let's go to 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. What did Paul say about that? He said, you are fellow companions of Jesus Christ if you keep in mind the word. Remember again, it is not the performance of it that counts, although it is there. It is what is there Is the thing you have there the genuine McCoy, or is it going to be like those Jews at the time of Jesus? Well, we're the children of Abraham, bless God. And they could prove it by their genealogy, and the genealogy stunk. You know why? Because the seed bombed out. It wasn't in them like they thought it was. It just wasn't there. See? So, here. Whoso keepeth his word, as Paul said, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we are in him. Now, is it hereby you know you are in him because you have that love? Well, that's pretty good. You can make a stab at it that way. But you ain't going to get that love without the word. Now, Paul said, let love be without dissimulation, which is without hypocrisy. And the whole thing started in the first church. Hey, one guy said, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of this, I'm of that. He always said, is Christ divided? He said, you're going to have thousands of instructors, but you've got one Father. I begot you in the gospel. The secret is that word. Because the body of Christ can only be word measured on word. Just the same as a horse has got horse cells and horse cells and horse cells. If it's got some mule cells, some, you know, some burrow cells in there, then it is not, it's a horse burrow cell. It's not a horse anymore. So the body of Christ must be word piled on word, and so it is with you and me. Now, okay, with that, we can go over here again in 1 John, that third chapter, and look at 10:11 again. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, then neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message in the beginning, that we should love one another. This tells you exactly what you can look for when you truly have the word. It's going to be something different from what people have, because it's the love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is in the word. Then people say, I got love, and I got this, and I got that, and hate the word of God. See, that's what I'm trying to get across to you. How can it be? Then, if we've really got the word of God, you're going to see some kind of love, like Brother Branham said, the sweet spirit of Christ came into the church. And the sick are healed. Why? Because the fellowship is walking in the light. And the light came from the east to the west. And the light was the word of God. The Son of righteousness, having risen, healing in his wings. So it's not just important to hear a word. It's to have that word right down deep within you, just in our very beings. So when we take what I've just read here, we see clearly that God has a bride who will take that vindicated, revealed word exactly as it is and stand on it as the life itself, which indeed it is, and love it all, and love those in whom is the love of the truth, which is the love of the vindicated revelation, because that's what it is at the end time. It's the love of the truth that saves us, that separates us. And John says then there'll be a real pulling together on love. But this church has an understanding you can pull apart. I've seen it too many years not to tell you the truth. I'm not going to be with you too long. I was so tired last Sunday, and I'm getting tired all the time. That's why I'm backing off. I mean, hurt anybody's feelings and all, but it's just the way I feel about the whole thing. But it's about time there became a real series of understanding that this is the word that counts, not just your lip service and pretend you can fool anybody, but you're standing on it. And when people come by, they know if you're sincere or not. Something about it that rings a bell. Now, here's what we're talking about. And I'm trying never get anywhere preaching Brother Branham's sermon because I've got to take too long to do it. Now, he said here. He said, they have, now watch, he says, how can a prostitute and a clean woman walk together in agreement? They can't do it. They have no fellowship at all. Come out from amongst them. See? Now, if you come on out, that's the first good indication. He said it's of the devil. It's the mark of the beast. Heading right into now are all denominations. I don't care whose it is. God's taking not denominations, but the people of his name, a denomination will receive these truths. It'll take individual persons that can see God, look at his word, and believe it, and belong to no organization, but live for God, not for his organization, or intellectual wisdom of some bishop or something been taught them. Right here, people say, well, I've got to have great ministry. You don't have to have a great ministry. Take this word first and see where it leads you. People are trying to get ministries above the word. Forget it. Brother Branham says, he said, I want to see the day when the gifts of Spirit, as it were put on a shelf, and the sweet Spirit of Christ come in an assembly, and the sick amongst us are healed, not one feeble one amongst us. I'm not against gifts, but I'm not going to look for gifts, put it that way. I've seen enough of them. I've had them in my own life. And I'm not boasting. It's the truth. I can prove it. So dependent upon gifts, I wouldn't make a move unless there's something in there. Preach, God could heal and couldn't believe in heal for nothing. Until he came forth, even... Listen, if the Bible said he's the healer, why would he need to give tongues and interpretation or something else on top of it? Either he's a healer or ain't a healer. No, you had to have some Pentecostal hogwash like I had. Now you got preachers trying to say the same thing. Brother Branham said the great work's over. He said the next thing is in the tribulation under the sixth seal. In Israel, the two great witnesses come. But you can't tell people that. No, they're going to tell you something else. Talk about latter rain and former rain. Don't even know what that's all about. Where are you sitting tonight? I don't be hardening anybody, but, you know, hey, I want some answers. We've got to have answers. And it's got to start with this definitive revelation. It's something that God has in there. And piling word upon word. It's going to come out. But the thing is, we've got to come to the place where we realize this is it and there's nothing else but it. The children of obedience have nothing in common. Absolutely. That's seed-wise they don't. Seed-wise and word-wise. The devil's children cannot receive the definitive revelation. They cannot do it. Impossible. I don't care how they say, it's impossible. They can't do it. That's why there's no use fussing with them. Nothing in common. Now, Brother Branham didn't have to say nothing in common as though they didn't have something in common, because my Bible said they got a lot of things in common. We're by nature children of wrath, according to the lust of the flesh and the mind, and those things were one lump. But what's he talking about? He's talking about seed. The seed of God doesn't take one thing outside the word. Now, if I'm wrong in telling you what I believe to be the truth, and they say, look, at the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost, and the conduit of the Holy Ghost is the word, then there's nobody going to tell me for one split second we can have the love of God truly shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost if that word isn't there. If Brother Branham told us the truth. Now, if Brother Branham were here and reneged on it, I'd have to change my preaching. But he's not here to renege on it. So I'm not going to change it. There's got to be something more than I've seen and you've seen. Because they ain't working. Children of disobedience, they have nothing in common. Now what? One of them is of the day, the other is of night or darkness. You see? Evil age. This evil age of darkness, nightclubs, dances, yet belong to church. It's okay with their God. Sure it is. Well, he told them to do it. They don't have any condemnation about it. Nothing bothers them. Why, it doesn't condemn me to cut my hair, a woman said. It doesn't hurt my conscience. She's got no more conscience than Nate's got hips. That's right, certainly not. She doesn't know what a conscience is. It's been seared off till she doesn't even know what it is. That's right. What about the time of the Exodus? They came out of Egypt. Oh, they were happy. Man, you talk about Mary. She whammed that tambourine, did a little Pentecostal toe dance, and her hair flinging up and all the bobby pins out of it. Man, she was a whoopy-doopy 20th-century Pentecostal girl having a great time even prophesying. Or they had a great time. Oh, Moses goes up there to get the word. The word that they need to get him in Canaan's land, to get him in there is the type of what I keep talking about. This great God with this great word going in there. One day the bride's going to stand there as a word-separated bride and all those foolish virgins. And I'm not against them. God love them. They're all part of us. They'll stand back and say, what makes those people? Here they were, and he goes up there to get it. And what happens? They swing right into filthy idolatry. made a golden calf, started your own priesthood. Say, come on, let's all go back. How much conscience did Cain have? None at all. Now, these people, worldly, lukewarm people, claim to have a conscience. Now, that's tough. Lady over there in Norway, her husband's supposed to believe this message. He thought he did, but I know he didn't. She said she had to cut her hair because she couldn't lift her arms up to, you know, to comb it. Had bad arms. Somebody else could have done it for her. She made herself a prostitute when she did it. Bible says so. Prophet says so. She wore slacks. And she said, nobody's going to tell me those sweet, dear Pentecostal people are going to miss it. She said so. That makes it right. What she got to prove, nothing but her own whoredom. That's all she proved what she was. God heard her talking to her husband and other people like us. That's back in 1970. They quit the message and never were in it. Now, what do you think God thought of their conversation? Did he say, well, they're my jewels? Well, he could tell by their conversation they weren't even in it. It's not you praying to God, it's how you talk to each other. And that doesn't mean get out of here, you stupid bum, I can't stand you. No, that's not it. And that's not talking Methodist Baptist Presbyterian. That's talking this message by a prophet, vindicated by Almighty God. Talking down the line. See? Okay. Now remember, the Exodus, O Alpha, which is in the Bible indelibly as the Exodus, is out of Egypt by Moses. And Paul mentions it at the last time. Jannes and Jambres were standing Moses, their end being shown what they are. That's on us today. Yes, the golden calf and sex. And Brother Branham branded all these big ministries out here as golden calf schemes. And the next thing was the sex. I'll talk about it a little later on. We're going to drop it. Paragraph 138. People walk all over the Word of God saying, why, that's some old fogey. Now, again, he likens the Word of God to the preacher. Don't go up there. It's just a bunch of noise and carry on anyhow. See? They know no more about God than Hottentot would know about an Egyptian knight. That's right. It's true. Having a form of godness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this is the sort that go from house to house and lead silly women captive. Oh, dear, you should do this. Oh, dear, I think your old fogey preacher down there is wrong. Oh, you'd look cute in a bikini or whatever they call it. You, if you do this, that, or the other, why, a little cigarette won't hurt you. I belong to church, and you are. I know our denomination is hooked up to as well as anybody's. Don't you believe that old painted-up liar. He says she's lying to you. That's right. Yes, sir. Now, let's just go back to Romans again. You know, Romans is a powerful book. I don't preach it powerful, but I like it. It says right here in Romans, the first chapter, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold back the truth and unrighteousness. Not hold it, but hold it back. That's this hour from history. For the invisible things of him that created the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even eternal power and God to the earth without excuse. In other words, there's something out there to make sure to know. There's something that you can't reason with, and it'd be a good thing if you found out what it was. And don't try to figure it as though you could do it yourself. You better get some authority or somebody that knows. Somebody that's got a contact. All right, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They became vain in imagination. The foolish heart was darkened. Professed thou be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorrupted God in the image made like a corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, we're not going to do that in this hour, but I want you to know God made himself known in this hour to the extent they could crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now, what is our hour going to? Now, remember, the people, the Indians and the Africans and different people are going back to what they once had. And the Indians in America are worshiping once more their animals and different things. And everybody thinks it's just great. They're doing it all over the world. They're going back. Look at Buddha and all that junk they have in the Hindu philosophers. Bunch of junk. Ever heard anything? You talk about a bunch of corruption. That's a crock of it, brother, sister. You ought to read some of the junk I've read, and you wonder how people call themselves with an ounce of brains could even listen to it. Prove nothing. stupid, idiot malarkey. My Lord, I don't know if you've read the books I've read, but I tell you, they're not worth reading. Just take my word for it. I've read them. Now, notice. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, let me tell you something here. You think that people don't worship four-footed beasts today? What about these people that throw paint on women who have actual fur coats? Yeah, they say, oh no, don't touch them. What about this stupid beetle jackass? What's his name? Ringo Starr, what is? What's he? He's a star, yeah. Well, he said, we became vegetarians because we saw our little sheep out in the pasture. Well, give them to me. I love lamb chops. Right, Gene? What are you talking about? They've exalted the creatures to a religion, to a philosophy, to a way of life. Oh, come on, dude. You're just as bad. Now listen, who changed the truth of God? No. Now, with this condition, God gives them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God gave them up to do it. And who's behind the homosexuals? We say the devil is. Oh yeah, so is God. The Holy Spirit has stopped his restraining force. You know why? Because they're off the word 100%. The only place the Holy Ghost is in a truly revealed word, vindicated, in this hour. Because you see, they know. There it is right there, picture. Authenticated by George J. Lacey, head of the FBI documentations and so on. For this cause, God gives up to vile affections. Now the men are in it. Now look at these religious guys got all this going. Now women are into it. Now the men are into it. Now either they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gives them to reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. Now at the time of the homosexual, the church is full of unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, and malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Without understanding, without natural affection, covenant breakers, they break the very covenant of God. Yeah. God comes right down here in the form of the Holy Ghost, the pillar of fire. Made himself available even by truth of photography. As Brother Branham said, when God went down to Moses, to Egypt with Moses, he not only appeared in signs and wonders and miracles, but he himself showed himself in a pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai. So today we got his picture. See it right there. People say they believe this message. And you know where they are? Among some of these people right here. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. Teach people to sin and lie and everything else. There you are. That's your picture right here. That's where this little thing came in here, Brother Branham talked about. Short hair and the whole bit. 139, it's okay with their God. Oh, he thinks that's wonderful, and they just love him for it. My, they'll argue with you. They'll stand right up and fuss at you about it. You know, just like Cain did. Well, sure, Satan stood right in the face of Jesus Christ, the Word, and tried to say it's written. In other words, use the Bible any way they want to use it. We don't do that here. As far as we know, because we have a vindicated message we're reading from. See? There he was, the vindicated word of God. And he said, get behind me, Satan. Just walk and do the same thing. That's what Brother Branham said. Just do the same thing. All right, listen. Like a fellow one time, he said, now if you believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost is right and you believe you've got it, now you strike me blind. That was a preacher said that. That was a Church of Christ man as far as I know. You strike me blind. Paul struck a man blind one day. I said, mister, how can I strike you blind when you're already blind? How can I kill you when you're already dead? He said, my eyes are 20/20. I said, you're physical part, but you're still blind. It's impossible. the Bible doesn't interpret things. We speak where the Bible speaks, and silent where it's silent. That's what they tell you, but it's not true. I said, all right. When Elisha was down at Dothan, they came up with the whole Syrian army round about them. The servant ran up and said, oh, father, my father, the Syrians are surrounding us. And Elijah rubbed his eyes and woke up and said, there's more with us than there are with them. He said, I don't see anybody. Elijah said, open his eyes, God. Now he was blind. He looked around the old prophet, and upon the mountain was full of angels, chariots and fire, and horses of fire. And he walked out there, and the Bible said he smote them blind. Blind to what? To him. He walked out and said, are you looking for Elisha? It's really Elisha. Are you looking for Elisha? Yes, we're looking for him. He said, come on. I'll show you where he's at. Now listen, you can use either Elijah or Elisha. It doesn't matter because they're both prophets. The spirit of Elijah was upon Elisha at that time, then John the Baptist. Now, Elijah leading them to Elijah or Elisha leading them to Elisha. Brother Branham did the same thing. Stood face to face with him. Remember that time I told you about, time after time, Brother Branham tells us about the about the brother out there in California, the herald of his coming. Wonderful man of God. Said, oh, pray for prophet, send a prophet. So Brother Branham went there and saw him. So Brother Branham said, oh, God, send us a prophet. Oh, God, send us a prophet. Elijah led him to Elijah. Well, who led you to Elijah this hour? Didn't Elijah? Same spirit. Doesn't matter if he calls him Elijah. Elijah makes no difference. Same spirit. I said, you know what I'm going to say to you? Brother Brown said to the Church of Christ preacher, just exactly what my Lord said to your father. Get thee behind me, Satan. All right, Perry. Yes, Brother Branham was proof. 142. Notice, the children of obedience and disobedience have nothing in common. The disobedient worship their God. Oh, they say, we believe the Bible. Yes, sir, you sure do. It's a mixed tree. They add the world and the naughties to it. Satan's tree is mixed. See, she took from Satan's tree good and evil. Oh, we believe the word, sure, but not all of it. He believed the word too. Then let Satan take his tree and pervert it. A little bit, just a little bit. That's what it is. Whosoever shall add one word or take one word from it. And remember, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And remember, when they started there, the end of the world is brute beasts. brute beasts. Giving completely away to instinct whatever they want, what they take by force. All right, notice what he said here. It's a mixed tree. And remember, Eve mixed the fruit. She bore the seed of God. She bore the seed of the serpent. She brought them both into the world. That's the way the church does. All right, 143, notice. All right, this evil age is of darkness, yet belongs to the church. Sure they do. They belong to the church. Their God, they love him for it the way he lets them do whatever the things they want to do. They have no condemnation. Nothing bothers them as long as they belong to the church. Balaam taught the church the same thing. Let us unite. We're all the same. It was the last trick. God never did forgive them for believing that lie. I got over here in Ephesians. I hope I got the right thing here. If I haven't, I got the wrong thing. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and beginning at verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's back to Romans 1. That's back to the flood. That's back to this hour. That's back to the many tribulation, many great tribulation when it happened in Israel, 70 A.D. Now watch, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now, he's telling you that because of this, God is going to send wrath, so don't be a partaker of what brings the wrath. See? In other words, get out of it. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, watch the way it is, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what he says. Now, he's not talking about the fruit of the Spirit according to Galatians. We're looking right here now what he says here. This is light. The fruit of the Spirit is all goodness. God is good. No shadow turning. Righteousness and truth. Follow the word. Proving what is accepted unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now that's just not a matter of fornication and filthy things people do, but it's to take your stand against the word that's wrong, like Jesus did. Like Paul did. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with the wine of success, and so on, right on down the line. So what you're looking at here, then, is what he said. If you are children of the light, you will be specific in your actions, and starting with that word, there will be a growth from it, and number one is going to be positively the lining up of the worship, having your word right. 144, remember is an unforgivable sin, three times in the Bible, for any person to add one word of their own interpretation to God's word after it's been vindicated to be the truth. That's right, three times in the Bible. And at the end time, you don't add or take away because it's the truth. In the Garden of Eden, right? In the Garden of Eden, one word caused death. When Balaam added the word, they were all the same. God never did forget Israel for that. Every one of them perished in the wilderness except the three that God brought out. Jesus said, you're everyone dead. Eternally separated. They're all gone. Never was forgiven. It's an unpardonable sin, never forgiven by them. Oh, flee it, children of the evening light. Now, he talks the same thing that Paul says here. Now, this is not said as though God's seed is going to miss God's purpose. But it's for our enlightenment that we can know the hour in which we live, and we also have the guide by which we live, and the number one is to know whether we are correct in the revelation. In other words, just to turn the corner, this is it. There is nothing further that you need to rely upon. Because look, if you're going to produce something, it's been going on for 2,000 years, whatever you got to produce it. What we're talking about now is the faith precept that makes you different. And that's something you cannot have anything part in as though you did produce it, because you cannot. 145. See now who is the leader of this modern... religious evil age. It's the devil taking that tree of good and evil and placing it out there, bringing this his beautiful church bride to the ecumenical council for a wedding. His beautiful scientific church with all the degrees that can be gotten, PhDs out of the Church of Christ, PhDs out of Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, and all, bringing with their all decorated fineries and big churches all to the ecumenical council. We're one. It'll never be forgiven them, a denomination. To wear the brand of a denomination is the mark of the beast. We've been through it already. Flee it, children, flee it. See? Great, beautiful church to the ecumenical wedding, wearing his mark, short, sure, worldly dresses, sexy paint, really good disciples of the devil to catch the sons of God. Marry a good full-born born boy, off into some reprobate like that. That's right. And he's talking now about the church system that destroys people. It does not help them, though their motto is, we are going to win the world for Christ. We are going to help people. We want to love you. We want to take care of you. All of these things. But the church has degenerated. And remember, it started with the Pope who became the vicar of Christ, which means I am instead of Christ. I'm taking the place of the Holy Ghost, which he did. And the denominations have done the same thing. And when they take the place of the Holy Ghost, it means they are the revealers of the Word, because that's what the Holy Ghost is all about. That's the evidence to receive the light of the hour. And they're the ones that have organized and destroyed it. It cannot be anything but that. I'm going to stop here because I want to take that paragraph, part of it, over again. And then we'll go to what we find scripture, some scripture on it, and read and show you in the Bible what Brother Branham is talking about in this particular area. Starting way back in the day of Paul. But by the grace of God, we come full circle to an Ephesian church. And remember, the Ephesian church was in order. And remember, the Ephesian church is the whole panorama, as Brother Branham would call it, the whole plan laid out before us from the time there wasn't a speck of stardust to the time of the consummation of God's plan and his family. That's in Ephesians. And we got to come back there, because there's got to be an Ephesian church upon this earth. And that church is entirely covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her garments are entirely of God. Her robes are clean. All glory is within and without. And that is something that God has granted us the ability to receive on the grounds of his great ability to give it to us. As Brother Branham once said, in a certain place, if God demanded it, then God must make a way for it. We say the same thing. If God said that's supposed to be that way, that's the way it's going to be. Because God's word can't fail. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again as we look into Scripture tonight, as Brother Branham gave us this word, Lord, to see exactly where the truth stands as a solid pillar, a solid root, a solid life in the church. Surely, Lord, we know that from their life there come certain other elements which we can see in our lives, such as we realize there's a love there, there's a gentleness, there's a meekness, all these things, Lord, can come out. We realize also there is such a thing as beyond the fruit there are gifts and things which we do not deny. We know there's many things there, Lord, but we realize there is one thing above it all, and that is that word which contains that life, Lord. And that depends upon you giving a revelation and our identification with it. Then from there, Lord, we know we can go on, but without it, there is no use of going on. Although many will go on. And rather than be able to plead, which they will try to plead on that day, as though it were some merit, it will be a demerit. Because you'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work this unrighteousness. Realizing once more that the great act that was done according to a command, which they obeyed, heal the sick, cast out devils so-and-so, as it was even to Cain, has fallen useless and not come to their credit, but to their eternal discredit. And what a terrible situation that is. Father, we don't want to be in that position. By your grace, we won't be cleansed by your blood tonight. But above all, Heavenly Father, make your word entirely and tremendously clear. Really clear, O God, in such a way that in no way can our minds be distracted from it or anything in our lives taken from it, O God. We stand exactly as John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us. Father, that's our only hope tonight that we have. We don't present another one. We don't have anything else to offer you. We know, Lord, except that that's our case, we're going to be just like those in 2 Thessalonians. We will not have the love of the truth, but believe the lie. And the prophet said to flee, and by your grace, Lord, we've heard your call and come out. And trust, Lord, we're one of those that not only came up, but will go in. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord. We ask these mercies, O God, because we know people are sick. Those, Lord, on the little hookup we have here in telephone. Lord, those in our midst and those that are not with us tonight, we know people have needs. I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, based on the message that the prophet brought us, that this is the truth. We have taken this message not only for our healing, but we've taken it right to the very place, O God, that goes way, way beyond healing, and that is the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. And this message brings our healing and brings us immortality somehow. Because it's a conduit of you yourself, O God, doing these great things. So, Lord, tonight, how can we not believe that the people be helped tonight and hearts rejoice because the bodies have received a touch? We thank you for it. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus.